for the players.
I'm Ryan Bitson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture as PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 12 plus years in that games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. Whatever the ones, if you're watching it, 5-star reviews and all that stuff. Look, I'm not doing my show with pills today, no Ritalin. Last couple have been Ritalin, and I haven't, so it's going to be a whole fucking mess. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popculture, as well as the merchandise store, popculture.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, other sort of shit with our logos on it. For the life of me, Max, I couldn't even pull that from my brain. Like, there was a straight roadblock that was like, I've said this 300 and fuck knows how many times. I was like, can I get it? And my brain went, no, you've completely forgotten it. Completely. It's gone. So that was rad.
I am getting the wildest fucking targeted ads from Temu on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, what are you getting?
Because, for one, never been on Temu in my fucking life, but this is what I'm getting at the moment. I'm just going to send you a screen cap.
All right. Let's have a squeeze. Max is being... Oh! It is a miniskirt bath towel. Now, I know, Max, there is not enough front area support. There would be balls hanging below that. Because Max, all balls.
I don't know what it is.
What have you been Googling?
The thing is, I've never been on Temu.
Well, not even Temu, but just Googling in general.
Well, apparently fucking...
Mini skirt towels.
Mini skirt towels.
Yeah, you even remotely bend over. Like, there is right down main.
I know I talk about parting the kimono a lot, but fuck me, there's not much of a kimono
you can just part a... Bam! Weenus. Oh, man. But let's kick things off this week. We just talked about Max getting his weens out. And of course, MGB in the chat has many questions, Max, about your...
AMA.
Yeah. But let's kick things off with some sad news, actually. So now, I'll mention this with you, Max, because I know you're more of a DBZ, Dragon Quest, etc. fan than me. But this week, the passing of Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Quest, etc. I know I was the one that shared the bad news with you in our group chat, and you're like, fuck you. You better be fucking lying. But no.
Yeah. I mean, he has really shaped a lot of pop culture that is around today.
You need to shift to your right a smidge. There you go.
You know, obviously he stepped away at the back end of Dragon Ball and came back for the majority of Super, but he also designed characters for Dragon Quest, Chrono Trigger. He did Dr. Slime, I think it was. His artwork has been in so many different things that it's a real terrible loss.
Yeah. So for me, it's one of the...
I think Sandlands is coming out from Bandai Namco in April?
No, not even. Yeah, not even.
I think.
Like a month.
Yeah, that's April, you fuckwit.
Mm. Oh my god.
Yeah, Easter's like 2 weeks away, dude. Three weeks.
Oh, that doesn't help. MGB in the chat does mention, when I saw the news online, I was shocked. I told my fam about it, and they were shocked too. It was so sad to hear. So, like, for me, Dragon Ball Z lived within my back end of primary school. Like everyone in Australia, we'd all watch it on Cheese TV before school, and that was part of it. And sadly, for whatever reason, Dragon Ball Z never really then continued with me as I went into my later life. Like, Pokemon stayed, sort of. But the games stayed more than the show. And Dragon Ball Z, like, the games always stick around. Like, I still remember Budokai Tenkaichi 2 is adored. So I think it hits very differently for me, or not at all, almost. Where, like, I know for yourself and our good friend Joel Grelton from Anna Game, like, he was pretty cut about it.
Yeah, man, it, like, ruined my day.
Yeah. Sorry, from. But, yeah, there's like, it was discussing this. I was last night with my partner. We went out for dinner and we're talking about celebrities that had passed. I forget why. Yeah, and there's very few that get me. Like, the one's got me the most, I think Robin Williams was the one. Yeah. That was one that killed me pretty hard. But other than that, it's been pretty chill. Yeah. So, you know, other things that have died. Rooster Teeth also died this week.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a Rooster Teeth consumer?
Not at all.
No? No,
not at all. This news could not get less.
It's interesting for me because, like, I never grew up on with Rooster Teeth. Didn't do Machinima, Funhouse, Let's Play, all that nonsense. Didn't do it. My connection to Rooster Teeth was solely through Kind of Funny. So they did the second ever RTX in Sydney, which is the Rooster Teeth Expo, which I went to because there were they're the Kind of Funny guys were there as part of it. And Kojima was there too, which was awesome, by the way. So even though I don't hold a lot of emotional connection to Rooster Teeth, to Rooster Teeth Expo, like, I met pretty much all of my media buddies there. I met like Dylan and Ash and Kieran and Jono and Cruzy and Brendan, you know, and I think I met Paul there for the first time. Like, it's just names on names on names because we were all Kind of Funny fans. And then we went to RTX and we all kind of caught up and became buds. It was awesome. It was a whole thing. I met Joel there for the first time. It was a whole thing. It was fantastic. Yeah. MGB, and yet again, Warner Brothers does another BS decision. Well, not so. Because it turns out Rooster Teeth haven't made money in the better part of 10 years. Like, in that 10 years, not a cent of profit. They were a completely burning money platform. And I think their relevancy was many, many years ago. Many of their founders aren't even there anymore. Half the talent that you would recognize are not there anymore, alongside all the horrible allegations that came out of Rooster Teeth semi-recently, the last couple of years. So, not awesome. From a legacy perspective, that sucks. But, like, I don't know. It's not the biggest, the biggest, saddest news. I don't think, anyway. What about yourself, Max? How's your week been? Has everything been better than... Not as bad as Akira Toriyama, but better than Rooster Teeth?
My sleep has recently died again this week.
Oh, no. You're mine too. The heat.
So, No, the heat's been fine. It's the fact that I'm now working split shifts again for some fucking reason.
Yeah, that past week.
I've been doing it for half a week and I'm already fucking over it.
Yeah.
I'm essentially doing like a lunch cover.
Mm.
It sucks. There's people there when I'm at work now.
Gotta look appropriate.
Well, it's not that. I wear my uniform. I wear a uniform at night time and no one's there. Mm. It's the fact that I've been given an hour cover to do what equates to about 15 minutes of work.
Sick.
So I have to walk around for 45 minutes looking like I'm busy. Two, parking is not free during the day, no. So I have to pay for parking. It just takes longer to drive because there's cars on the road during the day. And like, it's during the day. Like, this... It's just all these things that I'm like... I'm so used to working nights that I love... But on the other side, I get to see people who I don't see anymore now that I finish a lot earlier in the morning.
That is true. Because I remember, like, when I lived with you, I would see you for about 4 minutes. Mm. I was lucky.
So, you know, it's nice being like, hey, how are you going? Like, one of the people I was walking in at 11 o'clock, which is when I started doing 11 to 12. And she's getting up and leaving, and I jokingly looked at my watch. I'm like, "Oh, geez, you're knocking off a bit early." And she's like, "Yeah, I just got a phone call from the school. I gotta go." What?
Okay, yeah, we're cool.
So hopefully, I run into her again and find out.
Hopefully, everything's okay.
Yeah, everything's all right. But yeah, it's just one of those things. I mean, you know, extra money is good in this, you know, monetary climate that we're but you know, I also like just complaining when things inconvenience me in the
Oh,
slightest.
if you want to talk about complaining at a slight inconvenience, I have been sort of sick this week, and like I'm okay with being sick. I'm gonna complain the whole time because it's what I do. But the sort of sick is the worst sick. It's the one where like you're not so sick you probably couldn't take a day off work, but you're sick enough to greatly impact you.
Dude, I've had that. So for the last 3 weeks, everyone in my house has been sick, and I wake up with like a blocked, one blocked nostril in the morning that lasts for like 15 minutes, then I'm good for the rest of the day. But everyone else is like just dying around
Yeah, I had the
me.
scratchy, busted throat. I had the sinus pain where it felt like my nose and like all breathings wanted to crush in on itself. Had then the runny eyes and then the popped ears because all the sinuses are all fucked up. It's been a week. But it's okay. It seems to be, I'm on the tail end of it now, which is cool. A little bit of sniffy nose. I've got to like loogie back in occasionally, and that's hot. But yeah. Once again, just complaining for the sake of complaining. It's good fun. It's good times. But other than that, what I've also been up to this week, had my boy today. He came around for just to hang out. I went and saw Dune 2 last night, and
Has he corrupted his Spider-Man save file
he
yet?
did break it. He got stuck on the roof. Talk about that later in a little bit. So that was cool. He played Cuphead today. That was fun, and he didn't get mad. He wanted to, but he didn't. But yeah, went and saw Dune. Dune was cool. I liked the second one more than the first one, mostly because like the first one had that setup where they've gone, "Hey, you know who these things are? You know what an Arrakis is? Let's go!" And they just keep moving forward. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I was a little under the influence the first time I watched it, so I don't remember all the parts. So that was a bad decision. I wasn't gonna watch it again because that fucker was long too. The only thing I mainly remember.
It turns out you watched like the 80s version of the film and you haven't
No,
actually
no,
watched
no.
the
I'm vi I can cl I know that I watched Dune 1 because we were watching it on my TV with my beautiful HDRs, and we're sitting there in the dark. And that like 99% of that movie is fucking dark, except for whenever he has these randomly flashback memories to, you know, he's like, "Oh, I'm seeing the future, and it's Zendaya on this fucking pile of sand with the actual sun blaring." Like, you know, in that scale, Max, when you set HDR on your PlayStation, it's like, here is the ultimate white, here is the ultimate black. It was ultimate white. Like, it burned my retinas. Like, I felt like I was on the sand dunes of Arrakis because I could feel my corneas being on fire. This movie didn't have that, which I really appreciate, but it was very, very good. There was a lot more sand time, which was cool. Javier Bardem fucking killed it. I have a lot of questions about the worms that I'm sure that could be answered, but the movie didn't do it. Therefore, that's fucking plot holes. What are you looking at, by the way? You just got staring off to the side.
Funnily enough, I'm looking at some sandworms.
Yeah, I have a bunch of like nerdy ass questions about the worms, like how they work, how do they dislodge so much sand without leaving giant ass trenches behind them, or like, you know, oh, apparently they vibrate and that allows them to move through the water like sand. I'm like, yeah, well, wouldn't if they have to vibrate enough to displace themselves within the sand, wouldn't that therefore displace anything else within the sand around them? So like, unless the rock that they're standing on is as deep, or if not deeper than the worm, that worm going meh, past it will then make it fucking crawl, crumble. And if these worms move and they can only move vibrations, then why are they so shitty if you just happen to walk across the sand?
Oh,
Apparently, there's.
you must be the worst person to go to the fucking movies
No,
with.
I'm the worst person after the movie. During the movie, I'm okay. Especially this time, I took a bunch of pills, so I was really focused. It was great. But the
Like
second I
that,
left, though.
you know, he couldn't possibly have held the helicopter and held onto the roof at the same time. That's just not humanly possible.
Well, no, that's answered because he has super serum.
You can't swing a helicopter around on a chain and then the helicopter just fly away magically by itself, automatically leveling itself out. That's
Okay,
just
yeah,
the
that one's pretty not true,
Pigs can't fly. Like,
yeah.
you
The
must be
main the thing that like I find interesting about Dune is that like, and this is part, and I'm sure that apparently there's reasons in the books, but I'm not reading the fucking books. Where it's like, it's insane that there are parts of the world which are like dirt ass poor, medieval times fucking shit life. Then you've got people living this extravagant, high-tech life. So it's
like the current world we live in.
Yeah, straight up. But it's bizarre. They're like, we have this magical interstellar technology, yet these cunts live in the sand. Like...
So exactly like
yeah, the world exactly right. But I mean, like, the technology could solve everything.
Hang on. Exactly like the world we currently live in, and you cannot believe that.
No, I could believe it. But in that world, it's just because it's just so bizarre. And then out of nowhere, they have nukes. So I'm like, is it modern day? Is it the past? Is it the future? Where the fuck is this movie taking place? 10,000 something something. The woman at the start. The chick, the Florence, was there, and she said that it was 10,000 something.
I need to see this movie.
It's actually, it's straight up really good. Like, it's legit fucking incredible. MGB in the chat mentions, thank goodness we didn't get that popcorn bucket. I want that popcorn bucket.
Did I send you the video of the I'll find it. I've got it. It's basically just like a creepy dude coming up to the popcorn and he's like, can I get the June popcorn bucket, but hold the popcorn. but add butter.
Yeah. I remember when that got announced, I remember sending it straight to my partner, and I was like, hey, Phoebe, someone's going to fuck this worm. Like, no one's going to eat popcorn out of this thing. Someone's going to put their ween in it.
Yeah.
Ween in the space sand bumhole worms. Anyway, let's get to the section we're calling for, what we've been playing this week, because that's enough about movies and shit. Now, we will let you know, we are currently playing Rise of the Ronin. We cannot talk about it. All that we can tell you are the embargo dates. Max, do you still have them open? Because I've forgotten them.
So our preview embargo will go up on Tuesday the 9th at 9 a.m. Tuesday the 9th? No, that's not right. Tuesday the 12th.
Thank you.
12th at 9 a.m. With a full review going up 2 hours prior to launch. So 10 p.m. on the 21st of... Yep. This month. I don't know what day that is, sorry.
Yeah, so thank you to PlayStation Australia. But yeah, can't say a fucking thing. So it was an absolute big surprise. And I was like, holy shit. And then realizing that it's not until the 21st, I was like, oh man, we're going to have a lot of time with this game. Exciting. It's like exciting having that much lead time. It's pretty cool. But Max, this is, you know, last week I got to gush, and I will do it later, about WWE 2K24 because it's been my game this week. Now it's your turn. It's time for Max to finally talk about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, so a huge shout out to Bandai Namco Australia.
I'm going to be on my phone.
Yeah, go for it. So, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I sent you a lot of very mixed messaging about my time so far. So, I am currently, pardon me, about 15 hours deep. I'm currently in Chapter 5. So... played a fairly large portion of the
game. How many chapters are there in total?
14, I think. Okay. So I'm about a third of the way through. Direct continuation from the first game kind of picks up right where you left off.
What about the Yuffie DLC? Where does that slot in? Because does that happen at the end, or is that like alternate?
Yuffie kind of shows up a little bit later.
No, I mean, because you know how they had the Integrate DLC? Like, did that continue at the end of Remake?
I cannot remember. Okay. I don't recall. It's been a hot minute since I played that.
It's a bit.
So you start off, essentially, you've just escaped Midgard. You're in Calm, and you're kind of reminiscing, telling them the story of how you met Sephiroth and what's going on and why you're doing what you're doing. Which is cool. It took me a while to kind of get back into the swing of things. This plays very differently to that of Final Fantasy XVI, which was more of an action combat game versus what Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth has been. So it's gone back to like the semi turn based. You kind of, as you're attacking, you fill up the ATB gauge, which allows you to use items or the command menu essentially. So spells, abilities, items, they all cost segments of the ATB gauge, which you fill by just standard attacking. One of the big things that I thought were going to kind of annoy the crap out of me is they went full Assassin's Creed. You got to climb the towers, you got to sink the towers, and then the map opens up and all these blips happen. They're like, go do this over here, go do this over there, go do this over there. And I did it. That didn't bother me. I went and did all of it. I played for the first 9 hours of the game. I didn't leave the starting area. I did every single side quest. I beat every single person in cards. I went and hunted every single monster that was on my hunt list. I went and found all the fucking wellsprings of materia. I went and did everything I could possibly do before moving on. And although in other games I find that to be tedious, busy work, I've kind of enjoyed it here.
Is it because it's Final Fantasy?
Yeah, I have a feeling it's because it's Final Fantasy.
Because one of those things, because we talked about this 1,000 times, about like the Ubisoft mission structure, etc. And we're like, until we find one that sings to us. And then we go, okay, no, I can work with this because it's something that I care about.
Yeah, so for those of you who are planning on picking up or just starting to play, I would highly recommend going into the options, and you can change it so you always have a mini map open instead of a shitty compass for your like points of interest and quest markers. Way better having a mini map than just the stupid compass lines at the top. I thought that's not a default setting, you had to go in and change that. But other than that, I'm really digging this game. I'm...
Shock.
Yeah, shock. I know, right? It has taken me some time to again, get used to the combat. I kind of wish that they kept the more action-based combat that Final Fantasy 16 had. So they've added extra bits to combat this time around. Is they've added the ability to do synchro abilities, so you kind of... this was alluded to in a lot of the trailer and marketing for the game, where you essentially do a tag team attack with another player, and they'll each do different things. Some are buffs that allow you to cast spells with zero MP costs, so you can kind of just cast, like, spam the spells without having a detrimental cost to you. Or there'll be big flashy attacks that buff your character. You can do one giant attack, deal a crap ton of damage, and move on. They've kept the stagger system in place that was in the first one. So essentially, when you scan an enemy, it tells you what will pressure them. And when you apply pressure to them, it increases their stagger bar at an exponential rate. So it might be they get pressured if you dodge their attacks consecutively. Or when they charge up their special move, if you hit them and interrupt them, that will cause them to be pressured. And you've got to do all these little things to kind of make combat not less tedious, but a little bit easier on yourself, especially if the bosses are if the enemies are heavily armored, or they have a kind of gimmick to them, whether that be like a weapon or a shield or something. Generally, when you pressure them and stagger them, they lose that ability, and you can kind of pierce their armor a lot easier, do a lot more damage, stuff like that. The story has changed a little bit from what was the original Final Fantasy VII. That's fine. I'm enjoying this new story that they're telling.
Well, because you weren't mad about the changes in the original remake either. You're like, oh, these are great ways to expand it from memory.
Yeah, yeah. They've done, again, I'm still only a third of the way in. So far, you can still pick the things that are still there. Like, this, a lot of the main beats are still there, but the reasoning as to why you're doing them has shifted a little bit. So in this, where you're following these, what they refer to as the robed figures or the cloaked figures, who are kind of following Sephiroth through the game, through his journey. Although they appear in the original Final Fantasy, that's not your reasoning for doing what you were doing back then, but it is now. It's kind of, they're kind of trying to, feels like they're streamlining it a little bit. But again, the story's changed enough, and they've added different things to kind of flesh it out a bit more as well, which is amazing. A lot of the key beats are still there, so like a lot of the big boss fights that you expect to be where they are still where they were. So you can kind of, if you have that knowledge, you can kind of prepare yourself for what's coming, because you know roughly where that's going to fall. And that's kind of saved my ass a few times.
Just like having that foreknowledge, I guess.
Of yeah, what's just knowing that something big's coming. So it's like, you know, make sure you healed up, make sure you've saved recently. The one thing I'm hating is I've only got 10 save files.
Okay.
Which is really bizarre.
Is that mostly from a saves coming sort of issue?
Well, I like to say, yeah, I essentially, when I play an RPG like this, I tend to just use a different save file every single time. Like, just in case I'm like, oh, I fucked up somewhere here. I need to go back and do something else before I trigger this next section, or I can't get back there for X amount of hours.
Yeah.
So I usually, I mean, it's fine being able to just rotate the 10, but it's a really weird limitation considering I'm just saving on a hard drive. Like, why am I restricted to this? graphically, in...
Because, yeah, that's the one thing I've heard interesting things on.
So, I have yet to put it in performance mode. I've yet to put it in quality mode. I'm only playing in performance mode. Apparently, the game does look stunning in quality mode. I've had a few, like, texture issues in performance mode, but no, like, crazy textures pop-ins.
Mm-hmm.
It still looks great. I know there is a patch in the works at the moment for performance mode to bump it up a little bit, make it look a little bit better. But in games like the, in almost every game I play, I would prefer to have a steady frame rate.
Agreed.
versus it looking immaculate but laggy and jumpy as fuck.
Agreed.
So it hasn't been an issue for me, but I know other people have had an issue with it. I know I've watched the video over at Digital Foundry, which kind of tore it a new one.
But they're giant dorks and nerds about it, though. So, like, that is what they're there to do, and that's their bread and butter. Like, so they will pull apart the things that aren't necessary, but I also love what they do, too.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, so far, absolutely loving it. I'll have more to say as I'm playing through it. But, yeah, so far, it's top spot for my game of the year so far, and I haven't finished it.
Nice. Well, we had a feeling that was going to be the case. That's not really a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a surprise. But Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth has definitely gave it a run for its money. So, yeah, I'm really digging it at the moment.
That's fantastic. Yeah, look, for myself, not a lot of spread, mostly because I can't talk about Rise of the Ronin. There's another game that I'm playing that I can't talk about either. That one is right up in my wheelhouse, by the way. Can't talk about it. But the one thing I have been playing predominantly is more WWE 2K24.
Have you started up the House GM mode yet? Or?
No, we haven't started the House GM mode yet. Well, we did one the other day as a testing bed to be like, well, let's see what the new rules, like, you know, we know what the new rules are, etc. Let's go and fuck with it. So we just use the standard GMs. The reason being is because when we play our GM mode, we like to make ourselves and use ourselves, our custom characters, as our GM avatars. Pardon me. Up until Friday, we had not done that yet. So our entire Friday night, this is the level of nerd that we are. Pardon me, while people are out going, having good times, big social, Craig, Phoebe and I were sitting on my couch, just building us, like, to the nth degree. Like, we're getting into the face deformation, just like, the little tweaks here, the little plumpness of my lips, the curvature of Phoebe's eyes, and blah, blah, blah. Nth degree detail. It was dumb, but we look fantastic. Yeah, just a little bit. And then once we did that, we're like, oh, well, we need to work our entrances and stuff. So we started fucking around our entrances and making the theme that matches and getting the pyro going as well. MGB in the chat goes, have you guys headed into the custom fan signs? Not yet. I have in my own personal character for my rise for the campaign, which is still brilliant. I think I touched upon that last week, did I? Yes? No? Maybe?
I don't think so.
All right, I'll talk about that as well then. Yeah, that's right. I didn't go too heavy in a 2K, not to like...
The game hadn't launched yet last week.
Ah, that's why I couldn't talk about it. That makes complete sense. Okay. That's right, because that's absolutely correct. Because the last time we recorded it, I was like, I can only discuss what I checked out. Cool. All right, well, in that case, here's my fucking full-blown review of WWE 2K24. WWE 2K24 is no joke one of the best wrestling games I have ever played as a complete package. Not because I got to play it early, that did help though, but just straight off the top, everything about it is genuinely improved. After the experience of WWE 2K20 back in 2019, where, you know, the team Ukes split halfway through, they went over to AEW and made a very disappointing game in AEW Fight Forever. The team transitioned to Visual Concepts, one of the key teams behind NBA 2K20, 2K whatever, right? And we know that the NBA games are of an incredibly high standard. After taking a year away, and then coming back for WWE 2K22, then 23, and now 24, this team has nailed it. Like, going from 2020, which was just an abysmal fucking train wreck of a game, mostly because of a short development time already being restricted, we're here. They have nailed it. They've nailed the foundations. And they've also added these little accoutrements, as the word I like to hear in other podcasts, or these little sprinkles, these little extras that kind of give it the fan service love that you want to experience, right? So whether it be in the custom character, like, you can get a real fun with it, you can get silly with it. In custom arenas, you can, like, fully make whatever you want. You know, like, no longer you were stuck to, this is the arena. You pick these pre-designed, you go, it's this stage or this stage or this stage. Well, here you go, well, I want that one, and I'm going to move it up here. I'm going to get that. I'm going to move it over here. And I'm going to have this down, so you can truly make your own completely customized arena. It's sick. The one that I've spent the most amount of time in is the My Faction mode. So the My Faction is kind of like their ultimate team, I guess, which is as dangerous as you think, Max, just saying. So you get, it's got a card system, which I adore. I didn't realize I was going to, then I did. It's so good. And then, so rather than just playing purely with cards, pardon me, you then have to go and do matches, and as part of those matches you will be required to, you know, do X amount of actions within the match, whether it be 10 heavy attacks, you know, work someone's arm until it's red, taunt them, give them a finisher, give a signature, tick 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 tick, and then you accrue various currencies, whether it be MFP, which is the My Faction points. Then there's also the VC, which is the virtual currency, which is the paid currency. And then there's also WWE tokens. I don't have as many as them as I did in that 2K23, so I think they've reduced the drop rate of the WWE tokens. But it's so much fun, because I just want to go and I just want to collect all the cards. Like, I'm trying to look at ways for me to get more cards in the game without me spending a literal dollar, and it's getting hard because I want them.
Does it have a similar system in place like NBA, where you can put, like, if you've got duplicate cards or if you've got a really rare card, you could put it up in the auction house and sell it and buy other cards with it?
I haven't seen an auction house in here yet, but I've not really gone looking for it as well, because I'm at the point where I have mostly the same. Like, as in, I've got, like, there's no doubles, and it's all kind of entry level. Because I go in and I do my dailies and I do a couple matches and then I'll scoot. So, like, there will be, you know, your weekly towers where you go in and just go bing, 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 bing. That's tower one. Bing, bing, bing. Tower two. Here's your card. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever, whatever. Like, and they're the ones I'm going in and enjoying.
Well, are they guaranteed cards, or is it like a specific card? Like, they're like, if you do this tower, you will get 2003 Rey Mysterio, or is it you'll get a random card?
Oh, no, it'll tell you exactly which one you're going to get.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the weekly tower obviously rotate out every week. Yeah. But yes, you get exactly the one that it says you're going to get. Like, there's no, that does happen. Like, hey, you've awarded a booster pack of the legends, you know, and you're, all right, cool. Open it up, then they're mysteries. And very similar to trading card games in person, you get normally one honker, two mediums, and a couple of stat cards. So it kind of fits that. But already, so they had the Legends set, and now they've just released the Heat set. So they're already, within a week, dropped two huge sets. I'm like, shit. And because I want them. I want the set. Like, I want my digital cards, Max. Apparently, it wasn't a thing that I cared about. Turns out it totally is. I want my digital cards.
Buy them NFTs on.
So much so that I went and, like, I was chatting to MGB, actually. I was like, yo, are there any, like, WWE, like, physical trading cards? And he goes, well, yes, there is. I was like, oh, no, this is bad. And then I looked in and I saw the price went, yeah, this is bad. I'm not going to, I can't do this. Because that'll be
next minute.
I have a collection. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like there's some that you can buy like within the store. That's all thing. Mm-hmm. Tons of fun. And what makes it fun, even more fun for me, is like when you do, there's an area called Faction Wars, and that store all is just about clearing through lower rung cards just to get your points up. It's an easy way to get points. And so they use all kind of the in-game made up characters, like, you know, Clinton McDougal, who's this random cop-looking guy. Who's the other one? The Silence, who is just a mime. Alcatraz, who's a prison guy. Prisoner, that's the word I wanted. Fuck.
I'm like, you're like, he's a prisoner. I'm like, well, that's a fucking weird character.
Yeah, his name's... And then there's a guy named Stacked McSlax, who's just like a nerd. Like, high pants, suspenders, glasses with a broken bit. And, you know, he's just a skinny, scrawny little shit. But... because we use those characters in our GM mode, like, they've become important to us. So, like, I'm playing and I'm like, I'm getting that fucking Stacks McSlax card. Like, it's shit. It's worth fucking nothing. I'm like, but I need that Stack McSlax card just for me. It's kind of like, do you want, like, the, you know, the Roman Reigns, you know, WrestleMania limited edition? I'm like, no. Give me the fucking Stack McSlax.
That's the thing that I don't understand about... like, I had this conversation a couple of weeks ago with... so my mate recently went over to Japan and his kids bought a ton of Pokemon cards, right? Yep. And he bought some back for one of my friends, Cass. And Cass is like, oh, you know, I pulled some red cards. They're worth like $100. I'm like, are you going to sell them? No. I'm like, then they're worth nothing.
Correct. It's like all these collectibles behind me.
They only have value if you're going to seek that value.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're worth nothing. And like, I have stuff that is quote unquote collectible, but it holds no value to anyone unless I, it's kind of the same thing as like fucking cryptocurrency. Mm. Until someone actually wants to buy it, they are literally worth nothing.
Exactly. Well, that's everything, right? The, you know, the things are only the value of something is only as much as that a person is willing to pay.
Mm.
And, you know, I've got stacks of things in this house that are worth something to me, and that's why they're here. Because, like, I love looking at this wall behind me and go, yeah. Or, like, the little shelves in my lounge room, I can see all these little trinkets that all have different memories for me. And I go, yeah, okay, cool. This fucking rules.
Mm.
So, yeah, on top of that, one that I could talk about last week, but, yeah, my GM, I was able to, which is the fantasy football part of the 2K games where you get to create your own show, whether it be Raw, SmackDown, NXT, NXT 2.0, etc. Where you get to go in and create your own show with your own roster from a draft pool and then battle it out with your friends or against the computer. Now, I did get to fuck around with this mode at the Elimination Chamber in Perth. Couldn't talk about it because at no point had they discussed anything around my GM. Pardon me, but the second I have to talk, I'm burpy as all hell. The key takeaways from my GM is it's the same brilliant mode, but they've expanded it and they've made it better. All the little things that you would need or that you thought may have been missing, they are here. I did have a separate video planned of like the top 10 changes to my GM mode, and I'm still planning on doing it, but I recorded it, and it turns out I bumped my keyboard at some point, so I lost half the audio. It's just gone. So that's rad. So I'll probably fix that later. But yeah, so like there's a bunch of the differences in here in terms of when you select your team as part of the draft, the team themselves are different in that the wrestlers are no longer just the wrestler. You don't have to consider just their status, whether they're like a heel or a face, their stamina, their popularity, their class type. You now have to go deeper. You go into their perks and their ring experience. So Max is suddenly become a TRPG. In that, like, Seth Rollins isn't just Seth Rollins. He's now Seth Rollins and he has these extra perks. And he's really good at, and it tells you that he's good at these matches.
Are you telling me that Seth Rollins is a level 7 transmutation wizard? Because that may be the thing that gets me into wrestling.
It would make a lot of sense because of his impressive costume changes. and his ability to change his entire character, so I wouldn't put it past him. So that's fun. It adds a whole other layer of consideration. There is a new show. You can now be ECW, Extreme Championship Wrestling, the harder, quote unquote deathmatch hardcore brand that was previously run by Paul Heyman. Which is coincidental because Paul Heyman is now available GM in the game alongside Teddy Long, William Regal, and Ted DiBiase. When you start your season, previously you would just be able to pick your main champions, your world champions, your main male, main female. But now you can every belt that your show has can be selected before the season even starts. So you can leave them all vacated if you want and make it part of the story to kind of build up to that. Or you can go, well, you're my world champion, you're my mid-card champion, you're my tag champion, let's go. Which is the tag is a new one, the mids are new. Fun fact about ECW, they didn't have a women's division. So you don't get a women's belt at all. That's fun. But inside the game as well, the match types have changed. They've now included no holds barred, ambulance, casket, special guest referee, which is tons of fun. But previously, when you would go into build your logistics, the little extras that you to build your show, Max. So you have your show where you book the matches, and then you go and you build your logistics. So like, what arena are you going to use? Are you going to be using backstage crew? Are you going to be doing lighting? How are you advertising the show? Previously, they were all available, and you would unlock them at certain times throughout the season. Mm-hmm. So you go. On week 8, season 1, you will get level 1 backstage crew. Where now, everything is hidden behind like a paywall, but you can buy it whenever you want within the game's paywall, not like virtual, like real currency. Yeah, it's all in-game. But the difference here is that these logistics unlock match types. So when you start...
Okay, so like... Like if you don't have a back crew, you can't do like
You can't do backstage brawls because you don't have a backstage area.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes it really fun because previously you would have access to every match type. So suddenly, in order to try get those fans and the money, which are the key criteria to help separate your brand. You go, oh, well, I'm going to just have a big Extreme Rules match. I'm going to use a steel cage match to bump that rivalry. I want to do this, that. Suddenly, you can't do that because you only have access to normal tables, TLC, Extreme Rules. You're like, oh, man, but I will, you know, submission matches are really good to end feuds. Well, if I want a submission match, I got to have to unlock advertising level blur. Completely changes your tactics. So another thing previously... you would have to work out what your wrestler's match specialty was by trial and error. Where here, they now tell you, but they restrict your path to getting that match type. So it's like, hey,
okay, so
Roman Reigns, great at a backstage brawl. Backstage brawl, you haven't unlocked it yet, but here's what you need to do.
So obviously, having not played GMO and you've done it for the previous year and you've started again now... You obviously all have, I'm assuming you all have your own budgets and that's how they determine like a winner. So if you were like, I need to have this kind of match, do you personally have to pay for that out of your funds and then the other two people get it for freezies? Or are they forced into...
Just you.
So, okay.
Yeah, so if I was to buy a backstage area, it would only affect my show. It wouldn't affect their shows.
So does it all run simultaneously? Because obviously when you're having a contendership for the belt, are you versing one of their crew?
It's essentially brand versus brand in that like...
Okay, so it's not you have a team of fighters versus their team of fighters. It's you are your brand and your brand is just trying to get better ratings than the other.
Yeah, exactly. So it's to say if you and I were playing it, you would be Raw... I would be SmackDown. I want, it's all about us being the better show. And what the things that accumulate that are your season goals, which are little trophies, but also your accumulative fans and your accumulative budget. So if you and I were battling it out and you had more fans and more money, you would be number one.
See, I'm following you now. I thought it was some weird, like, essentially like a tournament mode in like a fighting game where you kind of all go at the same time type thing.
Not quite. But you can, like, impact the other shows because there are power cards, which are little, like, buffs and debuffs or whatever, and where you can be like, hey, boom, you play this card, and suddenly one of the opposing teams can't use their champion this week. Like, Uda-duk, you know, it's really fun to, like, we don't do that yet. However, probably in the next season, I think we will. And this season, we'll probably start, like, fucking with each other. But that's fantastic.
Sorry, I'll be back in 1 second.
That's all right. Well, we'll keep talking GM. Look, it is still my favorite mode. We haven't really dived into it properly yet. Now that we have the creation suite done and we've made us as characters, I know the mullet, Craig, has been working on ours today. We made the bad decision and we uploaded them to the content creation suite so he could download them and fuck with them. I can't remember whether it was me or him or one of us failed to tick a box that allowed them to be re-uploaded. So as a result, we couldn't re-upload it. So that was fun. So all this work that he had done and it could never leave his console. Bad move on our part. But thankfully, he knew what he was doing, so he's been able to go back and just tinker a little bit, and because he's already in the right path. But yeah, it is interesting how it has completely changed the tactics at which you would use. Because, you know, I could do this match type, I do this, I do that, and that. And, like, it kind of, we have this tried and true formula on how we would build it up. Let's see. So let's go to the chat here. MGB in the chat says, honestly, with what I played in the last week, this is my favorite entry in the SmackDown versus Raw/WWE 2K series. The creation suite is superb, matches are fun, my faction is finally worth my interest. It's so good. Haven't played my GM or my Rise yet, but I'm so keen for them. I'll talk my Rise in just a moment. I think when you get duplicates, you just get the my faction points. Okay, that makes sense. Don't go down the rabbit hole. It starts off with one card and then you're buying a box. Exactly. And that's the risk that, like, I don't have enough money as it is. And I'm an impulsive person because shout out to ADHD. But thankfully my anxiety that lives with my ADHD prevents me from spending a lot of money, which is grateful. Universe mode says MGB is currently setting up stuff now. Had some bugs I dealt with the first patches to fix them. My universe I haven't messed with myself. It's just not the one that tickles my interest. But that itself is essentially running your own show. You can add custom characters to your GM roster. So if you wanted to make a Wizard Seth Rollins, you could. Yeah, that's true. I totally could. Weird how NXT 2.0 is still in, even though NXT Black and Gold isn't in. Also, it's still generic WCW, not Nitro or Thunder. I think the reason is just for numbers, because they've established that NXT 2.0 is a staple within the MyGM mode. It'd be weird and ineffectual if they were to take it away. Let's see. Are you talking about sabotaging other shows? Yes, and you totally can. You can just, like, throw shit at someone else and really fuck them up. That's the MGB. I spent so many hours fine-tuning my CAW, which is their personal character, especially for TCW to make it the best yet. Straight up, that's exactly what we're doing as well. So our friend of the show, Mad Dog, he runs essentially an e-fed here on Twitch called TCW, Twitch Championship Wrestling, where your custom characters go in and battle for, you know, he kind of books it, tells us, you know, he essentially runs it like it's a real fed. It's fun. We have put an unreasonable amount of effort into our characters, into us, because that's fun for us. And that we, you know, we've seen a lot of the other talent over at TCW, and they're standard. They're fucking standard. They all look like John Cena because none of them worked on the faces. None of them worked on the body types. They just purely went on visual aesthetic. So what were their costumes, etc.? But here we are spending hours and hours making sure it looks like us, it feels like us, it walks like us, it talks like us when they can. That is what we do because we are giant dorks about it. We spec our characters to be exactly what we want them to be. Not just their signatures, not just their finishes, but their standard strikes, their grabs, their all of it, all of it. That is what we do. We make it, we ensure that we, both Craig and I, are worthy of our titles in the TCW Hall of Fame. And we are what? Two, three times tag team champions. I'm a former some other championship holder guy. You know, it's done. It's a lot that we do. For us, it's fun. And MGB's, I'm over here wearing a plague doctor mask and getting called a wing girl. Yeah, exactly, right? So other than that, there is the My Rise, which is the campaign. Here there are two paths. There is the Undisputed and the Unleashed. The Unleashed is the female campaign where you come in as the head, the main eventer of a independent promotion called TBD, and you take one of your wrestlers to a training a tryout for the WWE, and then of course because you've got history. You know, they've offered you a contract a number of times. You said no because you want to work the indies. You know, but eventually you get on board. And it's your journey, your rise through the ranks. The Undisputed, which is the men's one, the story is that Roman Reigns has vacated his WWE Universal Championship. The Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, I should say. And a tournament is put in place for the new holder. And you as a lower mid-carder on Raw get thrown in for reasons, and then you proceed to win, head in, become champion, and then by dastardly means, and then you've got to, regain and hold the title. It's fun. Really cool campaign. I got a kick out of it quite a lot. It's solid stuff. It's really, really enjoyed it. Now, I can sit here and talk about WWE 2K24 all day, but I won't. Because I was just going to kill time until Max gets back after dealing with his kid. But it's already been like an hour-long show. We haven't even touched the news yet. So let's get into the news. Section we call Inform the Plays. We tell you about what happened this week. So we have some more information around the Indie Hero Project, which is the sort of this initiative that PlayStation have where they go to various countries and they sort of support them in releasing games that kind of have a feel of the country that they are from. We saw this earlier with the China Hero Project with the likes of Fist Forged in something was one of them that came out. I knew I bumped the space bar. I wasn't curious what happened. So now we'll go back for a second. Thankfully, it was only for a short, quicker time. Let's try that again. After successful China Hero Project helped bring several great PS5 and PS4 games to a global audience, Sony is doing the same in India, and it's ready to talk about the selected titles. The India Hero Project is aiding a set of 5 games from Indian developers, all of which are heading to PS5 as well as your PC. The Hero Project sees Sony offer mentorship, funding, resources, and more to game makers in countries with burgeoning development scenes. The first one, Meteora, the race against space time. Now, sadly, it's not based on the Linkin Park album Meteora or the Sasha Banks finishing move, the Meteora, but it's race against space time, so we may have Inspector Space Time, which would be cool. Described as a combat arcade racer, Meteora, the race against space-time, has you controlling a meteor as it hurtles through the cosmos. You'll compete against other meteors for the win, leveling up abilities and climbing the leaderboards as you go.
Excuse me.
This one is being developed for PSVR 2 as well as PS5. It's an interesting one. It makes me think of Maneater and the idea of like you're a meteor fighting other meteors, like you're a baby shark that then goes and learns to be a bigger shark and go fight other sharks. That one's kind of fun. PSVR 2, that is certainly handy. As of right now, there is not enough PSVR 2 games of note, so this could be interesting. Next up is Fishbowl. Fishbowl is a melancholic, story-driven adventure game set in contemporary India. Featuring lo-fi music and pixel art visuals, the game has a relaxed feel but tackles themes of, quote, grief, connection, and self-discovery, end quote, as you guide ALO through her first steps in a new work-from-home job. That sounds very interesting. That sounds unique as all shit, and I want to play the crap out of that. That looks fun. There's a bunch of little different things here. That, obviously, the idea of grief, connection, and self-discovery, especially with the working from home. As someone who does work from home, one of the things that I have certainly noticed my life, my change, is around that connection. I do feel pretty disconnected from the world most of the time. Self-discovery, it's something I've been doing for the last couple of years. And grief, oh, boy, do I live with grief all the time. Mukti, M-U-K-T-I, Mukti. Human trafficking is the sobering subject matter of Mukti. Oh, God. The curious game has you exploring a labyrinth Indian museum in first person to discover more about this atrocity. The title aims to raise awareness and inspire action against human trafficking in what sounds like an impactful, important experience. So I imagine that this game is more in lines of a walking simulator, more of an educational experience, very similar to games like That Dragon Cancer, where it's not gameplay heavy, but it's more of an experience to get you to understand this part of the world, and that's the one beauty that games has as a entertainment piece, in that because it's interactive, you get to be hands-on, you get to control it. It puts you in that first person perspective. It puts you in that space where you have to understand it and experience it firsthand. Next up is Requital, Gates of Blood. So Requital, Gates of Blood is an exploration of Egyptian mythology through the lens of a side-scrolling action platformer. Playing as Zara, you'll help her fight her way out of the afterlife realm of Duat, D-U-A-T, with, quote, boss rush-like, end quote, encounters with mythical beasts. This one does sound interesting. A good Egyptian mythology game is always fun. I'm curious to see how that goes. You're good?
Yeah. Hadley just had a bit of a coughing fit.
All right, so Ali
stepped out for a while, so it's just me.
That's right. That's all cool. Well, I can keep talking as we have. So
Hadley's just sitting on the couch. She's all right.
That's all right. She's chill. So we just jumped into the news, chatting about it now. And the next up and the final one is Suri, the Seventh Note. This is another 2D action platformer, though thematically very different. Suri, the Seventh Note explores India's mythology, exploring mystical areas like floating Himalayan temples and ancient jungles. The gameplay here seems to combine traditional running and jumping with a rhythmic slant as, quote, the game's world synchronizes seamlessly with an enigmatic beat. I was
enigmatic.
Enigmatic beat, end quote. Maybe I was wrong. I was totally wrong. But there you go. So there are the five games that are coming out of the India Hero Project. The ones that tickled my fancy the most is no doubt Fishbowl. I don't know something about it. It looks really cool, probably quite relatable. But the ones that tackle the Indian life or the Indian culture, I think, will be incredibly interesting. Mostly because me being a white dude from Australia, I don't know a lot about Indian culture outside of like the friends that I have made and over various times and what they've been willing to share or let me experience. But what's your thoughts on this whole project now that you've seen the games?
Well, I mean, it's cool. They obviously started with the China Hero Project, and those games have been quite fascinating. These sound really good. The Requital Gates of Blood kind of sounds very similar to that of what Prince of Persia was, which seems cool. Covering the Egyptian mythology, I'm a huge fan of Egyptian mythology. I think it's really fascinating. It's always good to see the big guys kind of support the little guys, especially in the gaming space that we're seeing today, where everything has to be this AAA blockbuster or the company goes bust. So it's nice to see the little guys have the opportunity to show off what they can do, knowing that they kind of have a bit of a safety net to a degree, which is always good.
Agreed. All right, moving on.
No, Marvel's Spider-Man 2. The eagerly anticipated New Game Plus update is now available in Marvel's Spider-Man 2. It adds plenty of additions players have been asking for, and at least one no one had on their bingo card. Access to a developer debug menu that messing around in could potentially corrupt your saves and disrupt all trophy progress. Developer Insomniac addressed the unintended addition on Twitter, warning players that using the menu could get them burned, but stressing that playing normally bears no risk. In the interest of not bricking your save, and as some players have reported opening the menu accidentally, avoid pressing the L3 button whilst on the save screen.
Yeah, so thankfully, my son, who, as we know, we've talked about, he's a massive fan of Spider-Man, especially the Spider-Man games. He himself had already... I got a phone call on the night of the 7th, because we were told it was coming out on the 7th, being like, Daddy, where's the update? Why can't I find the update? What have I done wrong? Why can't I find the update?
And you were like, it's the 7th in America, you moron.
Because I assumed it was like a... If they dropped it at 12 a.m. Eastern time, he would have had it then and there. But they decided to upload it at like 8 a.m. Californian time.
Mm.
And it's like, so it's delay on a... So I was like... I'm like, yeah, because my kid, look, it's on the 7th, but it's 7th in America. You should be able to play it tonight, because I spoke to him the day before. And he's like, where is it, Daddy? You told me it was going to be here. And I said, look, mate, it's fine. It's coming. It's an American thing. You will get it. You'll be there when you wake up. So when he woke up, it was there. He was happy. He got to play the New Game Plus, which, mind you, he's already finished, by the way. He already finished the game again on New Game Plus. Already unlocked the suits. Already done it all. He's a fucking ledge. He adores that game to no end. No end. And of course, he made sure he video called me when he got the credit so I could see it. Just so, because he was so proud. But yeah, thankfully he didn't fuck in the debug menu and like obliterated all his save and all his trophy progress. Whoa, wouldn't that be brutal for him? That would kill him.
Be a valuable life lesson, though.
It would be. Don't fuck the debug menu. Excuse me. Shorten Layden. He's back. Not in the way you think, though. There's a huge amount of chatter about exclusivity in the aftermath of Microsoft's decision to port selected titles to PlayStation and choppy waters in the industry at large. Which also reminds me, Hi-Fi Rush is in like 9 days. Time of recording. Coming to consoles. Well, coming up to PlayStation. Ah. You going to pick it up?
Maybe.
Did you play it?
Nah.
I heard really good things. No. Oh, I'm checking
it out. I've heard really good things too.
This year alone has seen thousands of game developers laid off as the industry attempts to course correct following overinvestment during the pandemic. But as budgets for tentpole titles like Marvel Spider-Man 2 soar, many are beginning to question whether the traditional exclusivity paradigm is even feasible anymore. It's a topic that PlayStation's well-liked ex-executive Shorten Layden has touched upon in a recent interview with GameBeat. Now, it's something that he's talked about a lot, actually, in the past. And he believes sticking to a single format may be the Achilles heel of the industry's most expensive releases. Quote, when your costs for a game exceed $200 million, exclusivity is your Achilles heel. It reduces your addressable market, particularly when you're in the world of live service gaming or free-to-play. Another platform is just another way of opening the funnel, getting more people in. In a free-to-play world, as we know, 95% of those people will never spend a nickel. The business is all about conversion. You have to improve your odds by cracking the funnel open. End quote. Of course, Helldivers 2 is a live service game, so what does that mean for the platform holder's bread and butter single-player titles? Quote, if you're spending $250 million, you want to be able to sell your game to as many people as possible, even if it's just 10% more. The global installed base for consoles, if you go back to the PS1 and everything else stacked up there, wherever in time you look at it, the cumulative consoles out there never gets over $250 million. It just doesn't. The dollars have gone up over time, but I look at that and see that we're just taking more money from the same people, end quote. Layden believes the industry needs to expand beyond its current market by adding, quote, we're not doing enough to get heretofore non-console people into console gaming. We're not going to attract them by doing more of the shit we're doing now. If 95% of the world doesn't want to play Call of Duty, Fortnite, and Grand Theft Auto, is the industry just going to make more Call of Duty, Fortnite, and Grand Theft Auto? That's not going to get you anybody else. End quote. What is your thought on that, Max?
I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense. If you need to make more money selling these games, sell it to more people. Yep. Like, if you're not getting your return on investment by keeping it inside your walled garden, let it out of the gate. It's not hard.
Look, it's a... I sit in a weird position because I understand the power of exclusivity.
I understand that they all want to move their own box, and I get that. But at some point, like, are you gonna sell more copies of a piece of software if you release it everywhere as opposed to trying to shoehorn everyone into buying your box?
Exactly. And as they said, like,
be back in a second again.
That's all right. Not every console has moved a lot of units, right? There's only so many that get sold. In that, we have the most successful console on the PS2, but not everyone that bought a PS2 then went and bought a PS3. Not everyone that bought a PS3 went and bought a PS5, and so on, and so on, and so on. Didn't happen that way. So, it's... So my stance around exclusivity is I do see its importance. I believe that it is part of what makes this industry work. Because it is one of those things where it forces people, it forces development teams to work harder because there's a higher level of expectation and not pressure, I guess, but there is going, hey, this is going to be a defining thing for us. Please ensure that you put a stack effort into it. Thank you very much. Where having it go wide and available to everyone, yes, would assist in that, and it would sort of open up that fiscal door. But at least for me, if they start doing the idea of at least what PlayStation are doing now by having it released on console and then X amount of time later, putting up on PC, like, that's in theory, should help. But at the moment, we're not seeing the numbers reflect that. As in, there are many games that aren't selling well on PC, and whether that be because of the amount of time, like, it's too long between the release and then they're putting it on PC, who knows, right? It's a whole thing. But this future of this idea that, like, there are a bunch of consoles and that everyone can play whatever they want on them, I don't think the infrastructure of the industry is in place to support that because it completely disrupts the entire business model. And I don't think there's enough fail safes. There is enough preparation for the industry to make that switch. Is it the right answer? Yeah, very likely. If we want to not have to pay more for games, if we want more games to sell, if we want to see continuations in series that normally wouldn't because they didn't move enough numbers or whatever, that is the answer. The answer is spreading the games onto everything. Do I see it happening? No. Because, as I said, it's just there's a legacy. There is a way it's been done for so long. Not saying it's the right way, but there is not... They are too deep to flip it. And we have moments like, obviously, with Xbox releasing Game Pass and disrupting... I like that word, apparently. Disrupting how games are delivered rather than discs and digital. It's a service. But, you know, it's commonly known that the Game Pass is not making money. It's making money, but it's not breaking even, I should say. And... after we just talked about Rooster Teeth not making any money in 10 years, it's not ideal to be running at a loss often. You want to ensure that you're at least making some cash. Mute goes, well, I see your point, but what about Nintendo? See, Nintendo are their own kind of beast. For whatever reason, Nintendo have this unreasonable loyalty where they will make anything and people will buy it. Same as Pokemon, right? The idea of buying two copies of the same fucking game should make you mad, but it doesn't. People buy two copies of the Pokemons. Now, once again, it's not saying that Nintendo are completely separate in that no one bought a Wii U. Like, everyone bought Wiis, no one bought Wii U. Everyone bought Switches. Oh, well.
Wii U's were great.
Did you regret your decision of the Wii U?
No, not at all.
Oh, really?
I loved my Wii U.
Oh, well, there you go. He's the Max, the only one. But the,
I thought you were talking about the hilarious photo I sent you about the Nintendo CEO getting paid like $250 million less than like Bobby Kotick, and that's why Nintendo can do what they're best at, suing gamers.
That's brilliant.
All their money goes to their legal department so they can sue gamers for trying to play their games.
No, we're discussing consoles and how there is an upper limit, as in, you know, not everyone that bought a PS2, one of the greatest selling consoles of all time, very few went to PS3. Like, it was
never owned a PS2.
There you go. One of the only three people, because he was busy hanging out in his Wii U. What a wing.
No, I bought a PS1, then an Xbox, and a PS3, and then every console since then. Once I got disposable income, I bought everything.
Yeah. So, yeah, with Nintendo, they have loyalty because they've got legacy. Do I think that legacy is good? No.
They're also the only ones doing what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, so the challenge that I have with Nintendo is they release the same games, the same characters for the last 50 fucking years. So if you don't like Mario, if you don't like Donkey Kong, if you don't like Zelda, you're fucked. There's no reason to ever buy a Nintendo product ever, because their cycle is Mario game, Pokemon, Donkey Kong, maybe. Like Donkey Kong, Metroid, /Zelda, /something else. Guess what? Mario game. And because it's been just a little bit over a year, Pokemon game. And Nintendo is such a different space, right? Like, especially when it comes to Pokemon. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet fucking sucked. Like, a whole hot mess. Like, I objectively ran like garbage. Looked like garbage, yet it still sold a metric fuck ton. And so they don't have to do shit and they can release games. Nintendo has the luxury of just doing whatever they want and people will buy it, because I'm not going to lie, and I can say this, neurodiverse person myself, there is something about Nintendo that just sings to those that are on the spectrum or neurodiverse. I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, if you have autism, if you're on the spectrum, if you have ADHD, whatever the fuck it is, apparently Nintendo sings to you. And they're going to exploit the living fuck out of those people. Done. And also, they target different demographics as well, with young kids and stuff as well. Yeah. So the short answer is as I was saying. So the point I was making, Max, in summary, is that, yes, ideally, the industry needs to change if we want to continue receiving the games that we want, the way they look, the way they play, the scale, the size, etc., there has to be the removal of exclusivity. However, will it happen? No, because the infrastructure of the industry at large does not support it. And in order to make such a strong pivot, it would disrupt and destroy everything. You would have to burn it down and rebuild it. You can't just pivot it, because we're seeing what Microsoft tried to do with Game Pass and make that pivot into a service space. And what seemed like a reasonable, straightforward transition, we're now seeing isn't, especially with the likes of them not making profit, the costs of merger and acquisitions, all these things at play show you that the old system, although tried and true, may have been
but the their answer. Service is still inside their own walled garden.
That is correct. They're breaking the system, but still following its rules.
As a PlayStation man, if I could spend $30 a month to play all those games, you fucking oath I would.
Yeah,
do that.
I'll, if you could give me Game Pass on my PlayStation, I'll do it in a heartbeat.
All right, haunting a PC near you. It's been long. The rumors have been many, but Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut is now officially confirmed for PC, and it will be coming to Steam and Epic Games Store on the 16th of May this year. This version of the game has been developed by Nixxes, includes the full base game as well as the Iki Island expansion pack, plus the brilliant online co-op mode Legends. It's the full package, in other words, and of course, it comes with all the extras you'd expect from a PC port. These include support for unlocked frame rates, ultra-wide monitors, DLSS 3, AMD FreeSync, Intel XeSS, and all of that jazz. If you pre-order the game, you will gain a few bonuses like Special Horses and New Game Plus. Why is New Game Plus locked behind a fucking pre-order? some armor dies, travel attire armor, all those standard things. But new game plus, why? Why are you not just in the game?
So this is a tough one, Max. So we're very lucky. PlayStation Australia have provided us the review codes for the PC releases for the last X amount, right? For ages. You've claimed most of them because you had the better PC. I finally have an incredible PC. I'm like, sick, let's go.
All the games that are getting PC-ified, the games that you're not enjoying.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, next one's Ghost of Tsushima. I'm like, get fucked. Like, I liked Ghost of Tsushima, but like, because it was fine. But like, I don't like Samurai. I don't like weeby-ass fucking games. Except I've been playing a lot of Persona lately, so that's kind of shits on that. But, you know, it's just like, it doesn't tick any of the boxes. It doesn't make me want to experience it again. And if I can't get trophies, who fuck cares? Like, I went to play it again under the director's cut, and I was like, meh. So, like, you better give me a damn good reason. And I think Forbidden West is coming to PC sometime soon. So, that one I'm going to probably claim, because I think that would look incredible.
I've finished it.
Yep. But,
one day. My backlog of shame.
So that might be yours. If we're lucky enough to have it come through, of course. Yeah. That's very presumptuous of us. Quick Boots. BAFTAs. Baldur's Gate 3 and Spider-Man 2 will once again go head-to-head at a different award event, this time the BAFTAs, with Baldur's Gate 3 up for 10 awards, with Spoods sitting at 9. The Greek gods have invaded this season of Fortnite.
Kind of looks rad. I kind of want to go back.
Yeah, does it?
Like the end of last season, there was just a fucking giant hand coming out of the world with Pandora's box. And then Pandora's box open, you have like the chains of Hades, Zeus's thunderbolt, Icarus's wings. It looks fucking... You can fight Ares with Chewbacca's bowcaster for some reason.
Fuck! That's kind of really cool.
Fucking sweet.
See, look, okay. Fortnite to me has the same problem that No Man's Sky has. They wrap it in so much cool shit that I want to check it out, and then I remember that I hate the fucking bones.
But to be fair, Fortnite has always been good. No Man's Sky wasn't always good.
No, but you know, the point I mean is like No Man's Sky was like, we've got all these cool extra features. I'm like, sick. But you still have to play the same base game. Yeah. And Fortnite's the same, like, look at all these cool skins. I'm like, sick.
Just play no build mode.
Yeah. WWE 2K24 blurs archival footage of the Vince McMahon. That piece of shit. Good. They blur him out all the time because no one wants to be associated with him because he's a legit fucking predator and disgusting human. If he was to die, I wouldn't... If it's back to our celebrities dying, I wouldn't care. I would probably high-five someone. Because, like, yes, he created the WWE. He created, like, one of the things that I enjoy most in this world. However, the level of disgusting, abhorrent shit he did to get there, he can go fuck himself. I hope he dies a really, really painful death. And he also wrote really bad wrestling stories and some good ones too, but mostly bad ones. Rise of the Ronin weighs in at a whopping 96.3 gig. According to PlayStation game size. No comment. Dragon's Dogma 2 has over 1,000 unique NPCs. And if they die, they die. And they stay dead.
Reminds me of like old Elder Scrolls games where you could accidentally kill the quest givers and then they just don't exist anymore.
Yeah. You are getting like really excited for Dragon's Dogma.
I'm so excited for Dragon's Dogma. It comes out 22nd of this month, same day as Rise of the Ronin. Because God forbid Max has a break between long fucking games.
Well, thankfully we can get Ronin done in time, and then you can go straight to Dogma.
Oh yeah, because I'm totally not playing the behemoth. It's Rebirth.
Oh yeah, fuck, you are playing Final Fantasy. Drats! Sucks to be Max. What a problem to have.
What a first world problem.
Hey, Max.
Yo.
Where's upcoming games at?
I couldn't find any.
Okay, apparently there's no games coming out this week.
I'm sure there's something, but I couldn't find any, and everyone's lists fucking suck.
Yeah. This is where we missed the drop. The drop was really helpful. But it's also been like seven years since the drops came out.
Push Square, the site that I usually use, very hit and miss about when they release their upcoming games of the week. Sometimes it's on a Saturday, sometimes it's on a Sunday. Most of the time, it's on a fucking Monday, the day after we record.
Yeah. VG247 used to have a really good list, but they don't update it as much as they used to.
No.
Bastards. All right, well, look, I'm sure there's games coming out this week. Go play Final Fantasy. Go play WWE 2K24. They're both Game of the Year contenders. Why not? There's the name of the episode. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, WWE 2K24, Games of the Year? Question mark?
Here we go. Let's have a quick look. We've got... What's the date today? The 10th?
The 10th.
We have the Forest Cathedral coming March 14th to PlayStation.
Fuck is that?
Never mind, it doesn't exist. We have The Wreck coming to PS4, PS5, March 14th. We have Post Void coming to PS4, March 16th. We have WWE 2K23 coming March 17th. That doesn't seem right.
What?
Oh, this is 2023 dates. VG247, why are you doing me dirty?
That got really confusing for a second.
Apparently there's no list for 2024.
Yep, that's my point. What the fuck, VG? You used to be the good peeps.
That was weird. That was like, why is WWE 2K23 coming out this week?
Exactly. Bizarre. Either way, yeah, let's wrap this. But it's been a long ass episode. So thank you everyone for joining us this week. Max has to come in and out to do his dad things. However, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to our utter nonsense as we talk about whatever the fuck we're talking about this week. It's all good. It's fun times. I love it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I guess that's my cue to say this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services as well as 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures. We can watch us record this show live. We can jump in the chat and come part of the show. If you want to support this show, you can by telling your friends, telling your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, or comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop. We can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Turns out I can remember it now. Fucking brain. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. But seriously, WWE 2K24, Final Fantasy, Games of the Year. Fact.
For the Players.